church in the Old Testament, when they got together on many occasions, they recited the Shema of Israel. What chapter is that in?
Deuteronomy
6. That's right, Jim. Deuteronomy 6. What I'd like to do over the next several weeks during our time of confession is kind of go through this and look at some aspects of it that I think are very good and might help us in terms of our confession of faith as we look to the Lord. So let's read that together, first of all, and then I'll just make some comments. I'll be reading then from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9, and then we're actually going to do this as our confession of faith. I'm going to modify it a little bit. But again, keep in mind that this is something that God's people heard and said together frequently in their history. So it's a good thing that we do that as well, because we are part of them. My version's a little different than what Josh is showing you. So, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. And you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one." The Hebrew word "hear" means this. It means not only to be hearing of something, but it also means to obey. That's tied up with this first word in the Shema of Israel. Moses here does not call the people simply to listen to his word. This is actually a call to the people to do what his words say. In Hebrew, "I do not hear unless I respond." In Hebrew, thinking biblically, if I do not respond, I'm really not hearing. The same double sense of this word is applied to God when the psalmist cries out for God to hear his plea. Of course, God hears him, in the sense that we normally think about hearing, but it is of no value unless God responds. So when the psalmist cries out, "God, hear my prayer," he's not just asking God to turn on his hearing aid in case he's hard of hearing, but to do something and to ask. To hear is to do something, then. To hear is to act upon the word spoken. Hebrew is a very dynamic language. It's a very active language, and this is exactly what we would expect. The study of the law isn't about recitation or regurgitation, even though it is important to recite the law. It's about, and this is what it's about, this is what the word of God is about. It's about transformation. If my life is not changing because of the words that I hear from God, from the scriptures, from his law, then I really, really, really haven't learned a blasted thing. I haven't heard it. It is completely inadequate to store away information, even good, solid, Calvinistic information, in my cognitive vault, in my brain, if I don't act and live my life, if my life isn't transformed. Only a moment's reflection verifies that this is what we really want with our own words, isn't it, if you think about it. What is the point of speaking if no one acts upon our proclamation? Do we really think our children are listening to us when their behavior ignores our admonitions? Does our boss believe we have incorporated his direction if we don't make any changes in our action? Do you think God is interested only in a checklist of correct information that we might have? Of course not. It is much more than this. If we expect more than intellectual assent when we ask people to hear us, don't you think that God does as well? The problem was never about hearing. We hear a lot here at Providence Church. The church hears a lot all across the world from his word. The problem is one of responding. It is useless to read his word without committing yourself to doing what it requires. It is a worse than useless. It's disobedience and it's sinful. It is pointless to call myself a follower of Christ and to ignore the behavioral changes that he requires. It is worse than pointless. It is self-defeating. So begin with the invitation to his demand, "Hear, O Israel." We do not stop there. Live it. Don't open the envelope and leave the letter inside. It's time to take up and to do what we need to hear. In light of that, you probably have some sins to confess. Let's confess our sins together. Father, we thank you that you've called us to hear you, meaning not only to bring your word into our brain so that we can hear what you're saying, but then you've called us in your Shema to do it. Lord, we have heard your word probably in many different ways this week, and all of us have to say we haven't done fully what we've heard, and so we pray that you would forgive us. Thank you, Lord, for the mercy that you show us in Christ. But thank you, Lord, that you're not done with us, that your goal for us is to make us people that are hearing, doing people. We pray that your Spirit might work that in us even more today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now we're going to read the Shema of Israel together.
And what we're going to do is I'm going to read verse 4, and then I'm going to have you read all the other verses. But between each verse, I'm going to repeat verse 4. Okay? So I'm going to read verse 4, you guys will read verse 5, and I'll read verse 4 again, and you'll read verse 6, I'll read verse 4 all the way through the section of Scripture. Hear, O Israel. The Lord our God is one Lord.
And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord.
And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart.
O hear, Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord.
And thou shalt teach them diligently.